Hi guys, Brian John Spencer here. It's day 11 of the Ireland in 32 Days project. I'm in County Leitrim and I'm in Glen Carr. And in front of me is Susan McKay, journalist and writer, and also director of the Glen Carr Arts Centre.
The Glen Centre,
sorry about that. And we're sitting here in Susan's lovely little cottage. Behind me is Hangman's Hill. The sun is out. It's a beautiful morning. I stepped out of the cottage this morning at 8 o'clock, and I could hear a farmer guldering. It sounded like he was screaming at his sheep. We're having a bit of breakfast now, but before that we had a lovely walk to Glen Carr Waterfall. We saw the rear of Ben Bulbum in the famous mountain in Sligo, and now we're back at the cottage having a bit of breakfast and coffee. I just want to ask Susan. I can't ask Susan how it was growing up in Leitrim, because Susan is native of Derry, has been living the last few years in Dublin, but for the last 6 months has been in Leitrim. So can you just tell us about your experience of life in Leitrim?
Yes, I first lived in Leitrim back in the mid-1980s. I came here from Belfast and I just thought it was heaven to be away from the violence and scariness and pressures of Belfast in the 1980s and the sectarianism and so on. So I thought it was just idyllic here, but I found, and it is, it's very, very beautiful, very remote, very lovely countryside, full of hills and sheep and streams and waterfalls and the lovely Atlantic beaches along the coast. Very, very lovely place. But I also quickly found working in Sligo, I was working with young unemployed people in Sligo, and I found that there was a real wariness about the north around mm-hmm. here. You know, you're very aware of the proximity of the border mm-hmm. and a sort of sense of what John Hewitt used to talk about, you know, in that poem, The Coasters, about mm-hmm. the fear in the suburbs that the plague wind would blow the uh-huh. infection over the area. And I always had a sense that there were certain people in positions of authority in Sligo who were very wary of the northerner, and that you might be bringing the contagion with
yes,
you.
Yes.
So obviously things have changed now. I've been away. I had a whole career as a journalist in the meantime, and I've come back now really sort of not full time, because my husband still lives over in the East Coast, and I to and fro, when he comes up here some weekends, I go back there mm-hmm. some weekends. So I'm not a full-time resident of Leitrim, but I am spending most of my time here. I run the Glen Centre, which is a small arts centre in the town of Manor Hamilton. It's in an old Methodist church. The Methodist church downsized and built a smaller church, and the old church fits about 140 people. Mm-hmm. And there's a very strong artistic tradition in this area. A lot of amateur drama.
Yeah.
People love drama. People will come out to see plays a couple of nights a week, mm-hmm. you know. Then traditional music. There's superb local music around here, very strong local traditional music scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a song about the Whinny Hills of Leitrim, which Mick Maloney told me about. So that music and drama go down very, very well. Less of an interest in literature, perhaps, which I found a wee bit disappointing. But, you know, there is a small group of people who like readings and poetry and book launches. But there's one of the things about this area is it is close to the border. It has suffered economically from that. It's bad land. It's mostly sheep farms and mountains. As a result, it's always had high immigration.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of families, really, the tradition in the family has been that those who have got the get up and go to do it have gone.
Yeah.
And some of the people who've been left behind have felt a bit stranded.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still a strong tradition of people having to emigrate. I mean, in Manor Hamilton, you see lots of young kids up to the age of about 18, and then they go away to college, and a majority of them don't come back.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit? I want to ask you about Brexit and the border, but before that, can you Dagnan talked about this last night, about the strong sense of Republican identity that exists here.
I haven't really particularly noticed that in this area. As a journalist, I would have been aware of it in the south of the county, around Ballinamore.
Yeah.
And those places where there's a strong IRA tradition.
Yeah.
And, you know, John McGahern would have written about that in his books.
But that would have been IRA in contrast with that was a plantation area, and there would have been a bit of orange.
Yeah, I don't know a great deal about the Republican tradition of Manor Hamilton. I do know that I have found since being here that there's precious little apparent interest in, you know, there would be people who would know that I'm a journalist, or that I was a journalist before I took up this job. They'd know I'm from the north by my accent, but I find very little curiosity about the politics of the north.
Yeah, and that's something you were saying yesterday, that it really is in the south. Northern Ireland is just absent, both in the mind and in when it comes to curiosity or interest, there doesn't exist.
I mean, the border has become very porous now. You know, you would notice around Leitrim there'd be places where there are roads which were rebuilt by the European Union, which would have been cratered roads during the Troubles.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And a lot of the villages and places around here suffered very badly during the Troubles because their natural hinterlands were closed off from them. Well, and if you look at, say, Kilty Clocker, there's a famous little footbridge there which was put up after the British Army blew up one of the link roads with the north. Kilty Clocker is actually on the border.
Yeah.
With Fermanagh, and when the army blew up the link bridge, local people built a little footbridge across there, and there were three men who were actually coming home along that road, perhaps from the pub one night, but anyway, they fell into the river and were drowned, and there's a plaque put up to them. I can't remember the exact words on it, but the implication is that they were victims of the Northern conflict, because they wouldn't have been on that rickety footbridge if it hadn't been for the Troubles.
So that makes Brexit just viscerally real?
It does, because, you know, there's lots and lots of people who travel across the border for their work every day. There'd be people from here who go up to Enniskillen, there'd be people from Fermanagh who go down to Sligo. There's lots of people who live on the border, like, for example, the nearest border, actually on the border villages to Manor Hamilton would be Black Lion and Coo, and they are actually more or less, they should really be the same village, just with a bridge between them, but now they are separate. Black Lion is in the Republic and Belcoo is in the north.
And the experience for me has just brought it home again how interconnected and entwined the two communities are, and that'll go on the conversations as I go into Sligo and elsewhere. But in the last 2 minutes, I just want to ask you quickly, you wrote a book called Northern Protestants. In the last 2 minutes, can you just tell us a little bit about your journey, what brought you to writing it and the aftermath, and what do you make of Northern Protestants?
Well, I wrote the book in 1998. It was published in 2000, so it was written around the time of the Good Friday Agreement, and I wrote it because I wanted to try to explain, largely to a southern audience, to explore for myself, but also to explain to a southern audience, that there was a complexity to Northern Protestants, because people just had the image of Paisley roaring and shouting and being negative and saying no to everything. And I wanted to show that there was a whole population of people who had a much more nuanced and different way of seeing things. The book, I think it would be fair to say, the book was better received on the whole by nationalists and Republicans than by Protestants. And to some, I became a kind of a Lundy figure.
Of course,
You know.
And with the 1 minute remaining, I suppose my mission is a little, one of the strands is to try to show the northern aspect, the complexity. My parents would be DUP voters. They're not like Paisley. It's just something I've grown up and natural to them. So in the last minute, is there more that the south needs to do and the north needs to do to bring about understanding it in the hearts and minds aspect?
Well, I think one of the tragedies of Brexit is that there has been a lot of work in the border area. Like, we've just got a big grant from the International Fund for Ireland to do a cross-community, cross-border community development through the arts project, and which is really good, but there's been lots of those kind of projects, and if they build the border up again, it's going to be really, really hard for that kind of work to have a meaningful impact.
Yeah.
You know, because the border will recreate itself in people's minds.
Yes. Well, there is work to be done there, and that book you did was fantastic, and some of the projects you're working on are really great. I will continue the conversation on that point as the days continue. So Susan, thank you so much for your hospitality. Thanks for speaking and sharing your home with me.
And just